Are you Ms. Dickens?
I am.
Can you speak up a little bit, Ms. Dickens? I'm having trouble hearing you.
I'm short, Judge, so
that's all right.
I'll try and get a little bit closer.
Would you care to reserve any time for rebuttal?
4 minutes, please. Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Audra Dickens, and I represent the appellant, Nathan Osborne. The issue at the heart of this case is whether Mr. Osborne's site inspection of the Bent Mountain Beach Road violated the Fourth Amendment. And it did not, for three reasons. The search fell under the administrative exception to the Fourth Amendment. There was statutory authority to conduct the inspection, and he had consent to conduct the inspection by the owners of the business.
Well, I think they're all interrelated because...
I agree, Judge.
The Berger test, which is the test that's going to apply to a highly regulated industry, depends on compliance. At least one prong of that test involves compliance with the statute. The statute here says ABC and its special agents, and I'll give you the operative quote, shall be allowed free access during reasonable hours to every place. And it goes on, but I think you would agree it applies to applicants, correct?
I do, Judge.
Okay,
yes.
So it doesn't say, what it doesn't say is ABC agents can go wherever they want. It says they shall be allowed free access. In other words, the burden, it places a statutory burden on the applicant to permit ABC agents to inspect the premises. Would you agree?
Well, Judge, you get into, certainly they don't have free access to go anywhere they feel like.
No, my point is it doesn't, it places the burden of allowing access on the applicant. Or on the licensee, if it happens to be a licensee. In other words, the point is, if you want to get a liquor license to sell, you know, alcohol in Virginia, beer, wine, hard liquor, whatever, you gotta your premises have to meet certain requirements, and they're entitled to inspect those to make sure not only are you in compliance with them before you even get the license, but that you remain in compliance after you get the license. Correct?
That's correct, Judge.
But it doesn't say ABC agents can do whatever they want to. It says you have to allow them to. Now, it seems to me what the statute does is it imposes the obligation on the, in this case, the applicant to permit free access, correct? It doesn't give blanket authority to the ABC to do anything. It simply requires that the applicant cooperate.
Well, certainly there is a cooperation aspect of that is required by statute.
I mean, the sanction clearly is you don't get the license. If you don't allow the agents free access, you don't get the license. So I don't see how you read that statute as doing anything, as permitting any sort of Fourth Amendment exception to ABC agents simply because, to the extent it does anything, it places an obligation on the licensee to allow them to do certain things upon pain of not getting your liquor license if you don't.
Well, Judge, I think that is certainly one way to interpret it.
I don't know any other way to interpret it. It says ABC and its special agents shall be allowed. You know, shall be, I mean, I'm not a grammarian, but I mean, back in sixth grade, I learned that basically when you construe that sentence, the obligation is on the, in this case, on the individual. This particular section covers both permittees and applicants. So if you're either somebody who already has a permit or a liquor license, or an applicant for a liquor license, you're supposed to allow the ABC free access to your premises.
That's correct.
But that's different from saying, basically, the ABC agents, you know, have no Fourth Amendment restrictions at all, you know, and can go anywhere and do anything. You basically, you're required to give them consent to go wherever it's reasonable for them to go. Correct?
Sure. So, say an ABC agent shows up at an unannounced, which they oftentimes do to further their goals and making sure that all laws are complied with. If the owner of the business says, no, I'm sorry, you aren't allowed to, then certainly the owner is going to have a problem at
yeah,
that point in time.
And they should, but that's different from saying they can do it anyway. They can, you know, ABC can ignore that and basically violate the Fourth Amendment. In other words, you know, it seems to me the statute does nothing more than to say, if you want a liquor license, here's what you need to do, and if you don't do it, you might not get the liquor license. It's that simple.
And I think that that's a fair reading of the statute, Judge.
I don't see how that helps you. I don't see how that provides a blanket authority for the ABC agents to ignore the Fourth Amendment and do anything they want to.
And we're not advocating for a blanket exception, Judge, and I don't think that's what happened in this case. He had permission.
How did he have permission? The owner didn't even know he was going through the drawers and filing cabinets in the office.
Well, Judge, I think that's where you get into they're allowed free access to every place. And so every place is defined by statute. And place is defined as the real estate designated in the application for a license as the place at which the use or sale of alcoholic beverages shall be performed. So they're given free access to, essentially, in this case, the restaurant. And they set up a time to come and conduct the site inspection. Ms. Wim knew that was the purpose for which they were coming that day. The business office that's at issue in this case was on the premises. It wasn't some separate building.
But the business owner is being interviewed by an agent, doesn't even know the other agent is there, the one who's going through her office and filing cabinets. You know, consent implies that you're giving permission for a search to be conducted. It's a knowing, you know, voluntary and intelligent exercise, you know, waiver of your Fourth Amendment protections is what it is. And the statute says you need to do that or you don't get the license. That's my point. You seem to be arguing, and I gathered this from your brief as well, that because of the wording of the statute, a premises inspection means that unless you say no, they can do anything they want to and go anywhere they want to. It seems to me it's just the opposite. What the agent should have done is say, I want to go through your office, I want to go through your filing cabinets, and then if the applicant wants their liquor license, they need to say, yes, you can do that. That's, you know, or if they say no, then the agent should turn around and walk away just like a police officer would have to do unless they've got probable cause and get a search warrant.
Well, a couple things there, Judge. One, my understanding of these administrative searches is that it's not a situation where the agents are supposed to or are trained to ask the owner, can I open these cabinets? Can I open your walk-in cooler? Can I go check the entrance and exits? Can I open up this, you know, cabinet underneath the bar? Can I go... It's not a circumstance where they're asking permission to open each and every part of where they're trained and required to look to ensure that the ABC law is being met and complied with.
Well, the last prong of the Berger test, and granting and assuming for the purpose of my question that there are no issues with the first two prongs of the Berger test, we've got a highly regulated industry, I don't think there's any question about that, and there's a government, the regulatory scheme requires inspections. Let's grant that one for the purposes of my question. The third prong is the state's inspection program, in terms of certainty and regularity of its application, must provide a constitutionally adequate substitute for a warrant. In other words, the regulatory statute must perform the two basic functions of a warrant. It must advise the owner of the commercial premises that the search is being made pursuant to the law and a properly defined scope, and it must limit the discretion of the inspecting officers. None of that was done here.
Well, Judge, I think, again, though, that goes with statutory language where it's reasonable hours to every place in the Commonwealth. So if you go on a little bit further in 4.1, it explains that reasonable hours are business hours. So these agents couldn't have shown up at 3 o'clock in the morning if the business was not open at 3 o'clock in the morning. This was a prearranged visit, and Ms. Swim knew
But it must advise the owner that the search is going to be made and what the scope of it is going to be. The owner was never advised that another agent was going to be going through their private office business records in their office.
Judge, once she was told that the purpose of the visit was to conduct a site inspection of the premises to ensure that all laws were complied with. She also had a prior experience doing this exact same thing. This wasn't a new person to the rodeo, so to speak. This was someone who had held previous licenses, had actually had previous interaction with these two agents conducting inspections.
Well, the agents here suspected that things were not kosher with the application, and
that's
it turned out they were probably right. But the problem I have with your argument is that the the attempt to justify it after the fact, it seems to be when you apply Berger to this statute, what should have happened is the agent should have said to the owner, the purported owner, look, we got some issues, we got some suspicions. We want to either confirm or dispel them. You need to give us access to your business records. Now, they're either going to say yes or no. And if they say no, I think ABC has a perfect right to say, guess what? You're not getting a liquor license. And that's the end of it. That's all they can do. I mean, nobody's going to go to jail or anything over this. Or they can say yes. That's what should have happened here, but that isn't what did happen. Here, the ABC agent just assumed that there was something wrong. I'm going to do a warrantless search. He does that. He doesn't advise the owner of the premises or the purported owner, the applicant, anything about it until they don't even know anything about it until after the fact. And they complain about it. Clearly, if they consented, if it had been consented in advance, they wouldn't have complained about it. But the point is, I don't see how Berger and the administrative exception really justifies this, given the way the statute is constructed. The statute could probably have constitutionally said you're required to permit, for example, the Department of Agriculture can inspect food premises. It's a highly regulated industry. They can do snap inspections, and if you say no, they can get what's called an administrative warrant. I don't know if the ABC laws provide a similar mechanism, but if they did, that would be perfectly fine. But that's what you would do. You would get an administrative warrant and execute it, and that would satisfy the Fourth Amendment.
Judge, I see my time is...
You can answer my question. I didn't mean to... maybe the presiding judge will indulge and give you a little bit of extra time. But this is an interesting issue. We don't typically see Fourth Amendment cases in the context of an administrative law appeal. So if you could answer my question, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. And sort of multi-pronged answer. One, if you actually look at Ms. Swim's complaint that she lodged about 2 months after the inspection occurred, her complaints, when she talks about rummaging through her business records, actually refers to the issuing of subpoenas for bank records. So the complaint itself actually never discusses anything about actually why we're here today. But the second part of that, and I will do my best to try and cover everything, Judge.
Well, he was fired. I mean, what we're talking about is he was fired because he didn't comply with either the Constitution or ABC policy. Our limited role here is to determine if an error of law was made. He can't revisit credibility issues or anything like that.
I understand. Unfortunately, that is the case, Judge. And you bring up policy, and certainly I would dispute that he was terminated for a policy reason. It was solely a Fourth Amendment alleged violation that was done.
Well, I would hope the ABC's policy is not that it's okay to violate the Fourth Amendment.
Well, I don't know that that's what that says, Judge. Certainly it allows their agents to conduct site inspections of applicant premises. And in doing so, you are looking for compliance or violations with state ABC laws to ensure that this person you're about to grant a license to is already in compliance with the law and can continue to comply with the law. And the business record aspect of that, as far as his actions in the office itself, it was an open door, it wasn't shut, it wasn't locked. And the papers laying on the desk itself had the other owner's name all over it. So from there on, as far as the looking in the filing cabinet that was in the office, and I might mention that he thought he was on video the entire time he was in the office. But the filing cabinet aspect is, once you're granted a license, you're required to keep certain records on premises for inspection at any time. And if you don't have a filing system set up to do that, then you're going to have problems down the road when an agent shows up to check the records and you've got them in a box on the floor under the desk and you can't find anything that you're supposed to be able to have. Judge, I'm down to 30 seconds.
And I'm going to add a couple of minutes to your time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Ryan Harding on behalf of the appellee, the Virginia Department of Alcohol and Beverage Control. Judge Humphreys, I think you hit the nail on the head with what exactly is the scope of the site inspection. And Mr. Osborne, he was terminated for when he expanded the scope of that site inspection beyond that to a free access search. And ABC determined, the hearing officer upheld, and EDR confirmed that this conduct violated both ABC policy and the Fourth Amendment rights of the applicant. We must look at the...
Specifically is the ABC policy regarding site premises inspection?
At the time of Mr. Osborne's termination, it was OM03. And that only provides for a cursory search of essentially a kitchen to see if it's fully functioning and it has the inventory to allow the business to produce food in compliance with ABC regulations.
So is it your contention then that the regulation as it existed that time, let's ignore the law for the moment, we won't ignore it altogether, but just the ABC policy regulation at that time did not permit any sort of records inspection? Is that your position?
Yes, okay. That is correct, Your Honor. And this brings up an interesting wrinkle in that this is a grievance appeal in which the General Assembly has assigned the task of interpreting policy to EDR. EDR determined that OM03 did not authorize the conduct for which Osborne was disciplined. And that is binding on appeal to this court. Now, what happened here is, Osborne, you are absolutely right. The process under the Burger test would have been to ask for consent to see, can I go into the back office? Because as it stood, the scope, the whole purpose of Osborne and Agent Scott for being there was a site inspection. It was not to search every place, every office and room in the business. When Linda Swim agreed to that interview, she was agreeing to a site inspection only. And the regulations, which inform applicants and licensees of their expectations of privacy, indicated it would only be a kitchen search. And once that was where Osborne's judgment failed, is when he expanded the scope of that into the back office. And he rummaged through cabinets, he opened drawers, he rifled through documents, just trying to prove a hunch, when there were other processes available that would have been constitutionally adequate. And for example, he could have asked for consent. He could have gone to Linda Swim and said, may I search your back office? We just want to clear up some issues. Or they could have issued...
I'm sorry for interrupting. Did he need any explicit consent on the day of this search for any inspection whatsoever at that point in time?
He needed for the back office, yes. As Judge Humphreys mentioned, it certainly behooves an applicant to readily agree whenever ABC agents come knocking at the door, because if they don't agree to that, then that would certainly produce a black mark on their application.
What about even for the kitchen inspection? Did he need any sort of explicit permission on that day to begin the inspection at all?
The record hasn't established that, Your Honor, but in this case, there was consent, so it is a non-issue. It's not something that a relevant inquiry in this case.
Well, I think Judge Atlee's question is along the lines of the record reflects that an appointment was made here. You've got a person who's applied for a liquor license. An appointment is made to interview the individual. Presumably, they're going to answer questions regarding, what kind of operation they're going to have, what kind of food service or whatever it might be, and that sort of thing, I would gather, or at least assume. And I think Judge Alley's question goes to, well, was anything beyond that arranged?
Anything beyond that was not arranged. It is undisputed that it was a site inspection only, and the regulations define that explicitly. So to go beyond that, permission would have been needed.
Well, I was just curious whether there was any evidence that the owner at that time knew that the site inspection was even being conducted as she sat and discussed the matter with the other agent.
There was no evidence. The hearing officer explicitly held that Linda Swim did not know, or that anyone knew for that matter, that Mr. Osborne was in the back office.
So I think that gets back to my original question is, did there need to be any consent on the day of the inspection, even for the inspection to take place or to begin, whether it's kitchen or otherwise?
I would say a fair interpretation is an ABC agent could knock on the door of an applicant the day of and ask to see the kitchen. Within reasonable hours, of course, but I apologize. I'm not familiar enough with the ABC policies to answer that specific question. The relevant issue here is the scope, and that was exceeded in this case.
So your position is that the fact that the applicant had agreed for the agents to come for a site inspection did not give consent to conduct the site inspection, except that they specifically asked her at the time they got there?
The consent extended to a brief interview or to discuss the application and a search of the kitchen. That was it. That was what was agreed upon. Consent to exceed that, beyond that, would have been needed at the time. And
all right, but that it still leaves me a little bit intellectually curious, if nothing else. And we're assuming some things that probably, and maybe I'm just taking us down a hole that doesn't need to be taken. But if the scope of the search hadn't exceeded what was originally planned for that date, not necessarily consented to on that date, but planned for that date, would it be your position that there would be no violation here, even though consent wasn't given on that date to begin the search or inspection?
I guess let me see if I can answer your question this way. If they had searched during the process of the kitchen search and they found evidence of an ABC violation in plain view, that we would not be here. That would not have been a Fourth Amendment violation.
So it wouldn't be your concern that consent to begin the inspection wasn't given that day. Just simply making the prior arrangements for the interview and ultimately the inspection on a previous day was good enough?
Yes, Your Honor. And the issue always becomes, what is the scope? What is consent needed to expand that scope even further? And consent was needed here to go into that back office. Consent was not given, and that violated.
So if I'm the owner and I'm sitting in a front room with an ABC agent discussing my application, and have no knowledge that somebody else has come in through the back door and begun an inspection of my premises, even if it's what is otherwise contemplated by the statute, the fact that I agreed to set up a meeting and ultimately inspection 2 weeks before that, is my consent for somebody to begin the search or inspection without my knowledge on that date?
The quibble here is we actually did have consent to go into the kitchen. She did not know at the time, but she knew that was going to be happening.
Well, it's a classic scope issue, it seems to me. In other words, let's take it to the criminal arena, where typically see Fourth Amendment issues. If a police officer says, I want to search your home, is that okay? And I say, you can search everywhere except this one room. You know, I've given consent, obviously, but I've limited the scope of that consent, and they can't exceed the scope of that consent without probable cause or in a warrant or some exception to the warrant requirement. By the same token, I can say you can search, but you only got 5 minutes. You know, in other words, I could limit it's my Fourth Amendment rights. I can limit them limit the waiver of them any way I want to. Now, there may be consequences, especially if I'm applying for a liquor license, apparently. But, I mean, I still have the right to do that, and if I'm willing to accept the consequences, that's the way it is. Isn't that pretty much what the state of the law is?
Yes, Your Honor. And, again, the Fourth Amendment violation was a search and seizure of the back office. And that is what we're concerned with. That is what that search lacked consent or any...
I know. The reason I ask that question, if we analogize it to the criminal arena, and an investigator calls me and says, I'd like to come search your house 2 weeks from now. And I say, okay, well, you can come search my house 2 weeks from now, but you can only search this portion of it. Then 2 weeks from now shows up, one detective comes in, starts speaking with me, and another one walks in the back door of my house. Is that okay, based on what I said 2 weeks ago, as opposed to them coming in and saying, okay, somebody wants to search right now?
You're correct, Your Honor. That was an interesting question.
I mean, that's essentially what we've got here, correct?
Yes.
Well, I mean, here, though, we have a hearing officer who's made a finding of fact that's binding on us. So, I mean, here the hearing officer said there was no consent.
Yes.
Seems to me that's the end of the analysis. I might disagree. I mean, I might frankly disagree, I suppose, but the limitations placed on this court for administrative appeals simply means we can't revisit that issue.
Yes, Your Honor. And the facts that the hearing officer found, they compel the finding that there was no consent, to the extent that consent is a question of the law and fact. If the court has any other questions, I will rely on my brief. And I'll just conclude that Mr. Osborne's termination must be upheld as his conduct violated the Fourth Amendment and ABC policy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple of brief follow-up points, Judge. Just to clarify, this isn't a case where we had one agent come in the front door, one come in the back. They both actually came in the front door of the premises. That was one of her claims in her complaint that they, you know, came in all the doors like they were raiding the place. But that was actually found to be unfounded and untrue. They both walked in the front door together. Ms. Swim was waiting in the back of the dining area. Agent Scott walked towards her to start speaking with her, doing the interview. And Mr. Osborne went straight back to the back of the establishment towards the kitchen to start his inspection. To get back into very briefly.
Let me just stop you right there. Given that the hearing officer concluded that there was no consent, and given the limitation we have on revisiting issues of fact, aren't we, I know you've made three assignments of error, but aren't we really limited to simply reviewing whether or not, as a matter of law, this agent was entitled to do what he did?
Judge, that is the standard of review in this case. Unfortunately, the hearing officer's findings, in fact, are binding.
So, I mean, we really can't, you know, your assignment of error that says he had consent, I mean, would you agree there's no way we can revisit that issue unless you're going to say the statute, which, you know, requires consent or convey somehow overrides individual preference and grants across the board consent. Isn't that where we'd have to go?
Judge, I'm not willing to waive that argument. However, I will say that the hearing officer did find that they had consent to be on the premises. What his finding was that there was insufficient evidence for their...
I think he found that they were outside the scope of that consent, though.
That he didn't have specific consent to be in the office.
Right.
And our position, Judge, is that because they had consent to be on the premises, which, based on our reading of the statute and case law, to conduct this site inspection, the business office was part of the premises. Therefore, the consent included the office.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not sure, judges, do you have any other questions for me?
No.
I don't believe so. Thank you, Ms. Dickens.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come down and greet counsel and then move.